I want to talk today about reality and how I have no idea what it is. So I'm going to read. I don't know if in this group you guys do the traditions. They're new to me because I don't like rules or groups. So I don't want to talk about rules about groups. But but recently we've been exploring them. I've been exploring them and using them in the concept of a group where a group is a relationship, right? Because two people is a group. And so tradition one states that our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. And so in a relationship, our common welfare, this is a struggle for me, this common thing. It's like an external thing, because as the big book tells me on page 60, I think 60 or 62, 62, my favorite, selfishness and self-centeredness is the root of all my troubles. So I really only think about myself. And then and then it's like our common welfare. And I'm like, well, who are you? So to tell me about reality. And so this always reminds me of this. I don't know if you guys saw A Beautiful Mind, but after he goes, crazy, and he sort of heals or whatever, he comes back to campus and they let him teach again, and he's walking along and he asks somebody, he said, "Did you see that?" And they're like, "Yeah, I did." And he was like, "Because I have this condition where I have to ask because I don't know." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, that's what's happening to me all of the time." And I came to realize that I think the last time I was here, I talked about step two, because it's really a hard step for me. And I keep having to come back to steps two and three because I'm an atheist. And so step two is I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, right? So this power is what I struggled with. But then I was like, wait a minute, what's this belief thing, right? So belief. And belief is actually your reality. And I've come to realize that that is crazy. And here's why. There's a reason. So I was a scientist, a Western scientist, and then I became an acupuncturist. And it was a struggle for me to become this, because I had really formed an identity around this sort of like reductionist, really snotty world of science and this kind of elitism. And this whole, so when I became an acupuncturist, some people were like, "Oh, do you believe in Chinese medicine?" And I'd be like, "I don't have to believe in something that has data." And so, and I would just be like, "Heh." And so this whole belief thing, I really poo-pooed. And so when this step, I'm like, what do you mean believe? Beliefs are, like this thing I can trot on. There's either a fact or it's not a fact. There's this objective world. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. beliefs are actually the most powerful thing that we have. And here's why, is because I have all of this data that I'm smart, multiple degrees, a prestigious job in science, and I still struggle and think I'm stupid all the time, every day. It's the default setting because someone told me I was. My father told me, "You're stupid," right? So I'm like, no. There's this whole reality thing that I think I'm buying into, but actually I believe this narrative that someone gave me that just went into my brain and became my reality. There is no amount of objective data that I can provide to myself that changes that belief. That belief is just there. It is real. It is my entire reality. And that's actually, I think, part of why in the We Agnostics chapter, they say the people who have the hardest time coming to believe in this higher power are people who have a religious background, because they already went through this belief and they were like, no. and they've, you know, sort of centered it, and you have to come back. And so this coming to believe thing, that there's this power, is actually this rewriting of your entire narrative, of your reality. And if we don't do it, and it is very hard to do it, we relapse, which on page, it's 28 of the Roman numerals, is that the sensation is so elusive that while I admit it's injurious, I cannot after a time differentiate the true from the false. Which is to say, I don't have any concept of reality, but I'm going to reach for a drink, I'm going to reach for that person, I'm going to reach for this thing because I don't know what reality is, but I believe that they're going to, you know, make me feel better, which isn't true either. and so I came to this kind of, I've been thinking about this, and that our fears, you know, and we do a fear inventory, our fears are our beliefs. Like, I'm afraid that someone's going to find out I'm secretly stupid. Like, and then not like me, I guess? I don't know. Like, but these fears are our belief system, which is actually usually somebody else's belief system that we have then, you know, indoctrinated our own selves to. And then we go and, you know, collide essentially into other people and like demand that they be magical and solve our problems. And so I came to this because I recently was interacting with somebody who I said, okay, I'm gonna let you go. And then I did, and I went on a date, or I made a date with someone else. And that first person, who is across the world, emailed me the next day, like within hours of my making a date, and was like, can we do a Zoom? I want to move forward with this. And I was just like, did he feel that across the world? And I was like, okay, whatever. And I couldn't sleep that night that I was like going to have this Zoom call with this person, because I was like, oh, I'm scared and I'm going to get rejected and he's going to say I just want to be friends. I don't know. I couldn't sleep. So I literally had to take part of a Xanax. I go to sleep. I have the Zoom call. I spaz out like a lunatic. I don't even remember entirely what the call what we said, because I was just like, you know, just like, and trying to perform, trying to seem cool. Thank you. Trying to, all of these things, right? Meanwhile, I don't think I asked him a single question about what his reality was or what was going on. I just like had this, I don't know. And then we made up to, he was like, okay, I'm going to find like a time when you can come here. He lives in the Netherlands, and all of these things. And none of that went forward and happened. And so I pitched a fit. And I basically told him how he felt, and then not to contact me again, right? So this whole thing all happened in my head and all my reality without a single question about his reality. And so my sponsor was like, okay, do a fear inventory about what happened before that call. Like, why could you not sleep? And I did this fear inventory, and then she said, okay, take the things that so in column four that were like, okay, how was I viewing this interaction? It was selfish, I had false pride, I had all these things, and then take the things that you put in column five and start using those to build your relationship with your higher power. Because if we're not spiritually fit, it all, you know, whatever, goes to pot. And so what I've been coming to do is realize that my beliefs and my fears and this relationship with this higher power, it wasn't like, it just wasn't as solid as I thought it was. And instead, what I kept trying to do was make my beliefs reality instead of trusting, you know, there's actually 8 billion realities on our planet, right? Because it's each person's. And in this way, in becoming more interested in these other realities and this relationship with this higher power, I don't know what's ever going to happen with this person, this guy, but at work at least, and in these smaller interactions, I'm starting to be like, am I right? Am I imagining something? Am I seeing the thing? Am I imagining a fictitious thing, which is my correctness of this interpretation of how this should all go? And the answer is usually, I don't think so. So our common welfare and tradition one is what I wanted to talk about. Usually I ask a question, but I don't really have a question in mind. So whatever anybody wants to share.